Joining us now, it is a pleasure to introduce my next guest. Glad he can make time for our audience. State Senator Shay Shelnut of Trustville is on the line. Senator, how are you this morning?
I am great, Jeff. How are you doing?
So I'm a new father here, so I'm on baby time, which is...
Oh, my goodness. Well, congratulations.
Wreaking havoc on your sleep schedule, but it's all worth it. I don't consider that a complaint, but it may sound a little frazzled that might be why. Senator, let's get right...
Go ahead. No, I was just going to ask you, is this number one or two or three? How many do you have?
This is number one, so it's all new to me.
You're fixing it. Your life has changed.
It really has, but we couldn't be happier. I promise you that. Hey, Senator, tragedy struck your district. I wanted to get you on to talk a little bit about the tornadoes at Fultondale and how the recovery, how things are going. Talk about that if you can.
Well, I'll correct you a little bit. It's right outside of my district. Fultondale used to be in my district, but when we redistricted, I got changed. But I do have several contacts, and I've stayed in touch with them, and it was tragic. They were hit pretty hard. The school was hit hard, so we're relocating all those kids, having to, you know, how difficult that can be, not going to your home school and having to relocate. But it did hit a little bit of my district. It hit a rush trailer park, which was, low income folks that have nothing, and it, you know, took their housing away. So it's been difficult, but we're kind of used to it. It seems to hit my district quite often.
Yeah, just unfortunate to hear, but these things happen, and I guess the lesson is just to kind of know and be prepared, know where to go, and have some kind of plan in place in these unfortunate instances.
Yeah, and the alarm that night, the alarm went off, and I heard it, and I had to call all my family. Everybody was in bed, so it was a scary time because everybody wasn't paying attention, and I mean, I had to alert my mom and my brother and his family and say, hey, it's coming towards y'all. And luckily, it went north of where I live. So,
Well, glad to hear that at least your district was spared the worst of it. But certainly the folks at Fultondale are in our prayers. Senator, let's move on to business of state. You guys, your first week back in action there on Goat Hill at the State House. A very unusual circumstances, particularly with all the COVID measures in place. What's that been like?
We have to walk in, get our temperature taken, and then there's a scanner on the seventh floor when we enter. And we're not allowing, there's not many visitors. You have to have an appointment. So much different. We don't have all the lobbyists hanging around the hall. So kind of been nice a little bit. but other than that, everything's kind of gone smooth the first week. The first week's a light week anyway, because, the first 2 days, all we can do is file bills and have committee meetings. Today, we just finished up about 10 minutes ago. We passed some military veteran bills, pretty light load, I think about 20, 21 bills. So it was a pretty smooth week. Haven't heard of anybody on the Senate side getting COVID this week. We've had a couple of maybe assistants that tested positive with a rapid test, and I don't know how everything went in the House this week.
You elected new leaders there with Senator Schofield and Reed. Reed moving up to the pro tem spot, but there's no reason to expect any big major wholesale changes because of that. It seems like it's going to be maybe perhaps a somewhat business as usual.
Yeah, it kind of feels that way. It's going to be business as usual. We kind of had an idea this was coming for a while, so there's been some slight changes, but nothing. No big overhaul, and we expect things to kind of run similar to when Pro Tem Dale Marsh was in charge.
Yeah, and I guess for that reason, you can't. We'll see how it plays out. I guess it's not so much who's in charge right now that's really dictating the tempo and the terms of what's going on. It's really this kind of overhanging cloud of COVID and not knowing what the future has in store.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
And that's, you know, you're up against the clock here. But does it seem like things are moving at a pretty rapid tick? At least it does kind of from the outside looking into me that you're getting things through, knowing that that things could be gaveled out and you have to go home for a while if there's any kind of outbreak, that there's a lot of business, it seems, that folks are trying to get accomplished before that moment comes.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to continue like that, especially with all the bills that, you know, were in position last year and got shelved, just couldn't pass, but, you know, had already gone through committee. I know in my committee, next week we're meeting and we're passing all those bills out that, you know, have already passed the Senate. So we're going to fly through them and pass them out of committee pretty quickly. And I think most of the committees are doing that to start with. And, you know, and we're getting pressure from everyone to get it out in position as quick as possible from our local legislation, because we don't know, you know, how this session is going to go.
Yeah, and, you know, there's a lot going on because you guys haven't really had an opportunity to be in session. Obviously, 2020 was abbreviated for many of the same things, but just from what I could tell, it looks like you're really putting that focus early on the budget process, because that's the constitutionally mandated thing, and then some of these things. The governor did it through executive order, but you want to get them into law. Are you optimistic once a lot of some of those boxes get checked that you can move on and hit these hot buttons that come up every year? Prisons, gaming, or whatever else we're talking about. I guess around the water cooler these days.
Oh yeah, I'm very optimistic that we're going to get a lot done this session. It's going to be different than last year. I think we're prepared for it, and as much as you can be. So I think we're going to get to the big issues this session.
Yeah, so you got this week. You'll come back. I guess you'll go home tonight or whenever, and then you'll come back next week, and then take a week off and reevaluate. That sounds like a pretty solid plan, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm not in charge, but.
I wouldn't know otherwise. That's, I guess, why I would defer to you to ask. Would you prefer to stick around a little longer?
Oh, no, but I mean, you know, the planned off week, I'm not sure we needed it. But, hey, I guess it's a good idea. We'll see how things go. I wanted to be more optimistic and just let's go get it done. But, you know, hopefully we won't have any hiccups. But, hey, I can always take a week off and go home and be with family. That's okay with me.
Well, I guess the hope was, at least at the time, and this was done back a month or so ago, but that the vaccine would be more readily available. And maybe some of y'all, more y'all, especially the vulnerable guys, would get these shots in arms and maybe have a layer of protection there. But it's not clear to me that that's the case or not.
Right. And I don't know if any or how many have had the vaccine.
Yeah. We talked to Senator Stutz, but he's, you know, obviously he delivers babies. I think he said he got it. Other than that, I haven't really heard from many of the members. But well, let's talk about that, the availability of the vaccine. I don't know what you hear from your constituents, but down here, you know, there's some complaints about it. It just seems there's just not enough to go around. But a lot of people, I guess, are getting antsy. Do you think things are going to improve?
I hope so. I've had multiple calls and complaints about not being able to, you know, get the vaccine, and when they get there, how long it's taking. And so hopefully the process will get better. I have heard good news that, you know, some locations we had I set up in Gardendale and did several, I think over 100, you know, in a 2-hour period. So, but I mean, we have a we have a lot of people in Jefferson County. So we got to get the numbers up.
Yeah, let's hope that happens. I guess we could be optimistic. It does sound like a lot of governments are getting a kind of a grip on what's going on and figuring it out because this is all new to everyone. Something I know you were very outspoken at the time of the shutdowns, but coming out of Senator Whatley's committee yesterday, there does seem to be an effort underway to roll back some of these executive powers. Not that this is supposed to be an indictment of anything the governor or the state health officer have done, but there's some uneasiness about giving so much power to an unelected bureaucrat. Do you think that bill's gonna kind of fit the need to at least put a check and balance on things?
I would hope so. You know, I agree with Senator Whatley's bill, and you know, we need to have some checks and balances. You know, we have an unelected official that's just, you know, can basically shut down the state. And I don't know if you know, we have two counties, Jefferson County and Mobile County, that have their own public health direct officer in charge that can, you know, make their own orders without the state. I got a little frustrated. Many people in my area got really frustrated with how far it went in Jefferson County, kind of overreach. You know, we were shutting down tennis courts and ballparks and barbershops and everything. I just don't like that. We need some checks and balances. We need an elected official, somebody that we can at least get out of office if we don't agree with what they're doing.
And you know, shutting down churches, I think, was maybe the line where it went a little too far. You crossed the line there. We especially in this state, really, we have a deep appreciation for that First Amendment. But it got to a point there where, you know, you felt like you were in another country where they got to have church services in secret in basements somewhere. And I think maybe cooler heads have prevailed since then, but you never know who could be in charge, right?
That's right. I mean, it felt like we were in California or another country, but that was a crazy time. And I remember, you know, and now a lot of the churches, my church is, we don't have Sunday school classes, and that's okay for the church to make that decision. But I don't think the government should be making that decision for the churches.
Yeah, because that becomes a very dangerous precedent to set when you do that. One more question for you, then we'll let you go. I know you're very busy. Governor's prison lease plan, do you have any thoughts on that? It does seem to be kind of heading in that direction that it's going to happen, but I don't know there's a whole lot you could do at the legislative level. Maybe you could, but it doesn't seem likely to slow it down. But what are your thoughts about it? Do you think we're finally going to get some progress on this problem, particularly with the DOJ looking at the state?
It looks like it. You know, the legislature hadn't been able to do anything over the years. It looks like we're going to get some progress. So that's my thought. Not much though.
Well, as long as I think a lot of people would hate to see prisoners getting released with the federal government doing it or something like that. But enough said. We really let you go, but we do appreciate it, and hopefully we could do it again soon. Stay safe there, Montgomery.
Well, I thank you, Jeff, and tell Senator Glover I said, hey.
I will do. He's a big fan of yours. State Senator Shea Shell, that, ladies and gentlemen, making time for us. We do appreciate that.